¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
What's been really cool about this holiday season is we've gotten to see just how big the Bert Show's family's heart is. But I hope you still have some room to hold space for the lyrics of Defying Gravity, because Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo are reacting to that viral clip that just got so much traction over the last couple of weeks on social media, where Ariana and Cynthia are in this interview, and this interviewer starts going on this very sweet and emotional question. She starts saying, you know, people are really holding space for the lyrics of Defying Gravity. And she would later explain that she wasn't finished with her question, but Cynthia Erivo, for whatever reason, just gets so touched by her saying that people are holding space for the lyrics that she starts to get kind of emotional. She's like, I didn't know people were doing that. That's what I wanted. And it's kind of an uncomfortable moment. That's why it's going viral, because it looks like she's making this really big deal out of what is seemingly just a small statement about people, you know, really just feeling emotional about those lyrics.
The depth of emotion and intelligence that each and every one on this cast seems to have whenever they're talking about Wicked could either be very off-putting, or you could put yourself right in the center of it.
Right.
It's a lot.
So I think in this specific moment, it was kind of the penultimate experience to be like, ah, yes, theater people feel things really deeply. But Ariana Grande was actually with the people on this, because in this new interview with Variety, she actually said that in this moment, she was like, I don't know what's going on.
She said something that meant something to her. It meant something totally different to you.
Yes.
And then she tried to kind of get somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing was, I remember in the moment asking myself, am I okay? Did I not hear something? And I was like, she looks like she's about to cry again. And yeah. I'm going to grab this because I think you might need something.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the tapping was about. But that
tension.
That happened.
Tension.
Yeah, that happened. Tension. I was like, oh, something's happening.
She had said that she was seeing it because she was in queer media.
You know, I am in queer media.
And I was like, I honestly didn't know what that meant. And am I also in queer media?
Yeah.
Maybe?
We are great.
Work. Let's both be there.
It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
I just am glad. I feel really relieved that the world had the same experience with this moment that I did. Because I felt like, oh, I'm not broken.
Yeah, so basically she's like, I was feeling the exact same thing that everybody else was feeling in that moment. But you know when people kind of start having a reaction and you're not having that same knee-jerk feeling and you start to go, oh my God, is there something wrong with me? Like,
right.
Do I not have like the same kind of empathy for this specific subject? Am I not as human as everyone else? So I think Ariana's kind of like, oh, thank God everyone else is having the same out-of-body experience that I was having when this question was about to be asked.
It was so funny watching everybody try to decipher what the hell holding space meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we got there.
Yeah. And now it's this fun like saying that people have. Like, you know, we can kind of be like, we're really holding space for that. And it's become, as Cynthia Erivo would later describe in this interview, she's like, I love that it's becoming vernacular for people.
Yeah.
Like, we can put it on t-shirts and kind of make fun of it. But in the moment, you know, it meant a lot to her. All right. The Disney influencer community is outraged after one of their own died at a recent holiday food event. So this is heartbreaking. This all has to do with influencer Dominique Brown. She's an influencer that's known as, of course, somebody who's really enthusiastic about Disney, but she also co-created an Instagram account called Black Girl Disney that pushed for more representation in the Disney influencer space. So she's done a lot of really great work for the Disney influencers. But at a recent event in Los Angeles that was hosted by a company called Box Lunch, she passed away after she experienced an allergic reaction. So she reportedly told the staff, hey, I have this food allergy. It's really severe. I'm assuming she could say, I could die if I consume it. And the staff if I consume it. And the staff apparently was like, no, it's not in it. You're fine. Here's the food. Take it. And so she consumes it, immediately knows that something's wrong, says that she needs to be taken to the hospital. And 911 was immediately called, but I don't think she even made it to the hospital. That's how severe the reaction is. And so now everyone in this influencer space is absolutely outraged how this could happen. You know, you do all the right things. And I think we've seen this recently and other things that have happened, like that Lake and Riley thing that happened in Athens, where you do all the right things. You know, you run in the daylight or you tell people that you have a severe allergy and you could pass away from it. And still you do all those things and you end up with the worst case scenario. So people are absolutely outraged on social media about this.
Please tell me the family is going after that company that gave her that food.
So the company that held the event is called Box Lunch, but they, I'm assuming, outsourced like catering at the event space. So Box Lunch has spoken out and said that they're absolutely devastated by the passing of her. But we haven't heard from the catering, which I'm assuming it's because they're going to be in a huge lawsuit.
They're liable for sure.
Massive lawsuit.
That's horrible.
All right, Jay-Z and Diddy are publicly responding after a civil lawsuit accused them both of harming a 13-year-old girl. We're going to get into it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
That is a jarring story, man. That was jaw-dropping yesterday. And I think we're trying to be sensitive if you have kids in the car. But next Entertainment Buzz, we're going to have to cover that one.
For sure.
The Burt Show.
If you really want to be held accountable, tell your friends what you're doing. And then they're constantly like, asking you for updates on, like, you know, if you want to lose weight, I've heard this, that if you tell your friends, I want to lose 20 pounds by whatever, March 15th, it puts like this responsibility on you to where you feel more dedication to the cause because you have to tell others about it than if you just have to live with yourself, right? Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Mo is here for some public accountability.
That's absolutely right. And I think you are right in that when you ask somebody in order to keep you accountable, as the person who's trying to keep the other person accountable, you have to keep yourself accountable. Because I did not want to call her out because I love her, but she asked me to do this. And so we have to have a conversation about it. We got to bring Amber into the studio.
Okay. She asked you for some help in one area.
She asked me for some help in one area, and it has been a couple of months, and I have not heard back from her yet.
I remember this.
So you're not the one being held accountable. You are the accountability coach. Mm-hmm.
Exactly that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. This timing of this couldn't be any better. She was like limping her way around studio last week.
So
let's go.
Yep, it's time. Amber, you had to know that this moment was coming.
I ran down here. I'm a lot of breath.
Yeah, well, this sort of has to do with where we're going.
This is exactly where we're going.
You wouldn't be out of breath right now if you've been listening to Mo for what I think is coming up.
All facts. Yes, Amber came to me a couple of months ago, and you said you wanted to make a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to be real serious about it, so much so that you wanted me to keep you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, she asked me how often I work out, so I told her I typically try to work out about 5 days a week. And I said I didn't want to put as much pressure on you as to come work out with me, but I at least wanted you to start working out on your own, get comfortable. I drew up a plan for her, very, very, very detailed plan.
It was.
Right? For her to get on her game. I took it very seriously. I did as much research as I could to try to help her reach her goals.
Give us a snapshot of what this plan looked like.
I started it off light. I gave her like a 4-week plan. Mm-hmm. Where the first week, I think I did try to get her in there for like 2 or 3 days a week. Didn't have to be a lot. It could be 20 minutes, I told her. Whatever you feel like you can do. I gave her 4 different workout options on each day. I tried to use all of the different muscle parts that you wanted to incorporate on each day. And then I think it picked up, if I remember correctly, it picked up by the week to have her closer to where she wanted to be by the 4th week.
Okay. And then just to get us connected back to this, the reason why you wanted to do this now and what's sort of the origin story behind you wanting to lose the weight now?
Honestly, it's a personal thing. I just was tired of not liking the way that I looked. I hate shopping. My God. It became to the point to where I did not look in mirrors. And it's funny that we're talking about this right now because actually this weekend, I accidentally looked in the mirror while I was naked. And normally I completely just bypass that. But this time I looked at the mirror and you know when you like like suck in your stomach to see if you really can suck it in. Because like about a year ago, I was sucking my stomach. I'm like, but I don't see a change of the suckage. You know what I mean? But this past weekend, I sucked in my stomach and I noticed that I actually could suck it in, which was kind of cool. Not only did I announce a while back that I saw my thighs for the first time, but I was eating on the couch with my buddy Wes, my best friend, and we had like a plate of food in our lap, and I was sitting in my dad's reclining chair. I'm looking at the food, and then I just started laughing. And Wesley's looking at me like, what's so funny? And I'm like, bro, I can see my entire plate. Like,
okay.
Because normally I got to move my stomach back a little bit so I can see it. So it is working.
Okay. So you have been focused.
Yes. I've been doing the stuff that you have. That you put on the list, but I also been incorporating some of the things I'm really into.
Good.
Like, I love that VR boxing. That's how I get my cardio. You
anything
know what I mean?
That's going to move you around a little bit.
Yeah, anything. Honestly, just getting up and just trying. Just getting that action in and trying to bring that into your daily, it's super important. Because if you don't change something, nothing is going to change.
And that was pretty much my, like, the theme of what I was trying to help her with is don't feel like you have to get in and do all of this. Don't feel like you got to get in there and go hard for 30 minutes or for an hour. If you can get in there for 15 minutes and just move around and start to just make it a habit, after a while, it gets a little easier and a little easier.
I appreciate your effort, and I'm going to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Okay, but I'm also going to say something that might be very unpopular.
All right.
Okay. Uh-oh. Not for you. Why even try in December?
I know. I mean,
quite honestly, like, if you're going to start a diet or start a health journey, I mean, December is probably not the greatest time, right?
But you started this months ago.
Yeah, I did.
But as we're moving forward, I'm not talking about you anymore. Yeah. Like, if you're having the same thoughts as Amber and you're looking in the mirror and it's just not there for you, I think that you might be setting up an unrealistic goal for this month. If you are setting up, look, it's never too early to start a health journey starting in January. I just don't know if it's realistic. You got so many parties to go to. You're going to family members' house. They cook a certain way. And it takes so much discipline and so much effort. And now you're going out and buying presents and you're online and you're here and you're there and you're drinking more than you probably should. Now might not be a great time to start that.
I actually think it's a good time to lay down some groundwork. So in terms of like eating healthy and not eating all this stuff, Bert's right. You're like pushing a boulder up a mountain. Maybe probably not going to be successful. But doing things like Mo just said, we're adding the 15 minutes a day, or people look at diets and like add in more vegetables when you eat, right? And so stuff like, so you get fuller on veggies and then you can enjoy the rest of the stuff. So I do think there are little tweaks you can make to lay the groundwork. So come January, if you want to jump in full force, like, you've already been moving 15 minutes a day. So you've already got all of that under your belt. And it doesn't matter about the weight, it's about the health, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've heard professionals say for the longest time, if you want to start, the easiest thing you can do is after you eat, go for a 20-minute walk. That's where it all starts. Mm. And that's it. That's all you got to do to start. But maybe in January.
The Bert Show.
If you want $100 and you have a secret you want to share, we're the place to go. 1-855-BIRCHO, because the truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. So we're going to have you call up 1-855-BIRCHO, and there's something you just need to get off your chest. And you are going to feel like 1,000 pounds lighter once you are able to get that out. You haven't told anybody, but you just want to go ahead and just tell it to the Bert Show fam. We put you on the voice disguiser. We can change your name, but you just go ahead and tell us your deepest, darkest secret. If we believe you and don't think you're fibbing, we're going to give you $100.
All right, 1-855-BIRCHO. So I was spending way too much time this weekend thinking about our intern, Ethan, who we've called Chocolate Rain, right? on Friday, Kristen, you weren't in here, man, but we had a couple of segments with him where we found the girl.
Oh, you did?
We found the girl. His dance partner that he had this tremendous chemistry with. And then at the end of the dance, he asks her how he did. And then he walks away, but he had been thinking about her. Well, we got a picture of her, and it was DJ Baby Drew, Kristen, who called like all of his friends in the clubs and is like, I know exactly who it is, and gave me her phone number.
Nice.
All right.
That's not creepy at all.
So I give it to Ethan, and then on Friday, he was so shy about actually texting her that Abby's like, I'll take care of this.
Oh, my God. I was like, we need to have a texting tutor while texting tutor is playing. So while we were playing our recorded one that we had done earlier in the week, I go to the back room, and I'm looking Ethan square in the eyes. I'm like, listen, I know what this feels like to have regret looming over you. I don't want you to feel this way. We got to work this out. So we start going through like every minute detail of every sentence of how we can make this come across as endearing and not creepy. Mm-hmm. Because I asked him, I was like, why, what's holding you back from sending this? And he's like, well, I just feel like, A, I'm a little bit scared of rejection, but B, he's like, I don't want to come off as a creep. So we end up workshopping this short paragraph that basically just says something along the lines of like, hey, my name is Ethan, because I guess he didn't give her his name. We met at the salsa class, blah, blah, blah. I know this is kind of random, but if you're interested, I would really like to take you out on a date. And as far as I know, they sent the text message.
He was letting fear just completely debilitate him, right? And his shyness as well. And gosh, I know so many people in life that live with regrets just because they didn't try, because they constantly are wondering what it's going to feel like when things fail, right? Over and over and over again. So we went in with him quite a bit because I'm like, hey, this is more than a radio internship here, man. Let's try to work on your self-esteem a little bit. Then I remember this clip from Will Smith on what's on the other side of fear. And I love this clip.
And the guy walks you up to the end of the thing, and you're standing and your toes are on the edge and you're looking out down to death. They say, on three. One. Two. And he pushes you on two because people grab on three. And you fall out of the airplane. And in 1 second, you realize that it's the most blissful experience of your life. You're flying. There's zero fear. You realize that the point of maximum danger is the point of minimum fear. The lesson for me was, why were you scared in your bed the night before? What do you need that fear for? Everything up to the stepping out, there's actually no reason to be scared. And then in that moment, all of a sudden, where you should be terrified is the most blissful experience of your life. And God placed the best things in life on the other side of fear.
I love that. That's what he's talking about, skydiving, obviously. And Mo brought the same analogy up this morning.
Yeah, when you guys were speaking about me singing the national anthem, I remembered from the time that we went skydiving with Bert that what he's saying for me was completely accurate. The scariest part of it all was thinking about it, worrying about it, anticipating it. And I had all of this fear. But when you actually jump out of the plane, it's the least amount of fear I had the entire time. And it just, I always use that to remind myself, don't ever let that 30 seconds or that 60 seconds of what may be fearful get in the way of ruining your life or your time leading up to that. Because once you do it, you realize there's really nothing to fear here. And even with singing a national anthem, the actual singing part of it, if there was a part where I had anxiety, I had the least amount of anxiety.
Yeah, and I'll say this again. I didn't have that same experience as Mo.
You did not.
It was very scary the entire time. But I did live and I did do it. Yeah. But I didn't enjoy it. Not 1 second.
We had two different experiences for sure.
All right, the truth will set you free for $100, 1-855-BIRTHSHOW. You tell us a deep, dark secret. If we believe it, we give you the 100. Good morning, Jordan. You are on The Voice Disguiser.
Hey, how's it going, Bersha?
Good. All right, tell us your deep, dark secret.
So my family built this house back in the World War II era, and it was passed down generation to generation of the family. And when I was about 7 or 8, I was kind of a pyro. I was playing with matches in my room, and it caught the part of the house on fire. And instead of me saying something, I was just kind of running downstairs. My mom smelled smoke and finally seen it. It was on fire. I never told her to this day that was me. And they thought that the house was old. It was an electrical fire. I don't think she'd even be mad that the house was caught on fire, but it was like all the old pictures of my granddad and my grandma that you can like never get back. So I'm kind of scared to tell her that she'd be like disappointed.
So if I have this right, you burned the family house down and she doesn't know that it was you?
Yeah, they thought it was electrical fire because the house was so old.
Wow.
Back in the 19, 40s.
Oh, Jordan.
30s.
Yeah, I just keep that to myself.
Oh, yeah. Keep that one right here, man. Yep. Keep that right here.
That is dark.
That was...
Yeah, she talks about it all the time, about the pictures that she can't get back because they were in, like, actual photographs and there was no cameras back then.
Yeah, okay, so...
We're all in here just so tense right now. God.
So, like, Jordan, like, how much... So, yeah, the stuff was, like, did the whole entire house burn down?
Yeah, it all burned down.
Oh, my God.
The entire thing.
I mean, you could, like, save maybe some of it, but it was... Yeah. They had, like, old uniforms from the war.
Yeah, okay.
Like, memorabilia and, like, guns and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty much all ruined. Yeah. Yeah.
Some confessions are just worth more. You get $110.
For committing arson at the age of 7.
Wow. You gotta start them young, Kristen.
Apparently so.
Good morning, Roger. The truth will set you free for $100. What do you got?
Okay, so this is really bad. I am on the voice disguiser, right?
Correct, Roger.
Is what you want.
Yep.
Okay. So my mother-in-law is a bit of a narcissist. She controls the family. It's a very toxic situation, and I can never say anything to her, or I'm at risk for losing my family because she'll turn the whole family against me. So I'm the type of person that has to have revenge, but I can't do it with her. Or else I'll lose my family. So what I did about a year ago is I ordered German cockroaches to her house in her name. And she opened them up. By the way, she is terrified of bugs. And they crawled all over her.
Nope. You had to laugh, though.
She does not know. She thinks it's her ex-boss. So she left the job about a year ago, had a horrible relationship with her boss. To this day, she thinks it's her.
Yes, you get $100.
But really quick, though, Roger, why cockroaches from Germany?
They're German cockroaches. It's just a type of cockroach.
Oh!
They're the big ones.
Where does one buy cockroaches online? Asking for a friend.
I can't remember exactly, but I Googled, because I heard about it on TikTok, I think, and I Googled where to buy cockroaches to send to somebody anonymously.
I know where to get them.
You do.
Hell yeah. Don't you remember years ago, I got those Madagascar hissing cockroaches that we did a bit with.
Oh, for the Fight Your Fear.
I've used this place so many times. It's the place that used to supply Fear Factor, the TV show, with all their gross stuff. It's called Carolina Biological Supplies in North Carolina.
All right, Lizzie, you've got a deep, dark secret. The truth will set you free for $100.
Hi, guys. Anyone listening?
Thank you.
So there was this one day I went to the mall with my best friend. He needed a consultation. And while he was speaking with the lady, I went, like, ducked off to a corner and I farted because I had to fart really bad. And once the consultation was over, when we walked away, he was explaining how bad her fart smelled. He thought that she farted. And to this day, he tells this story to, like, all of our friends and everything. And I'll always keep my mouth shut.
And you were the one that farted.
Man, after arson and cockroaches, we needed to start with her.
You shouldn't have followed the last two.
Dude, you don't end with a fart, you start with a fart.
I mean, you're going to have to tell us really how bad it was for us to give you $100, maybe. Because yeah,
like, what did you eat that day?
I had eggs that morning, and he was explaining how she might have eaten eggs, how bad it was. I was a ways away, guys. Like, I wasn't next to them or anything, so I didn't think that it traveled that far, but... I guess that's just how the ball rolls.
All right, does the fart get $100, Kristen?
I mean, I love a good fart, so yeah. Okay. I'm down to give a fart $100.
Mo?
Yeah, I say yes.
Yeah,
Abby, okay.
It's the holidays. Give a fart $100.
Happy fart day. You get $100.
The Burt Show.
For the 500,000 of us all around the state and around the country that played in the SEC championship game over the weekend and were just as exhausted as anybody else, we earned this win! UGA wins the SEC.
ETN in the I formation. They hand it to him. Touchdown! Georgia SEC champions! As every dog digs really deep.
I did. I was sore the next day.
Were you?
Played hard, left it all on the field.
I did. They won in overtime, so congratulations to UGA. I'll tell you guys a funny story. I was up in Chicago this weekend. My girlfriend had to work, and I came along because I'm like, you know what? Chicago in December? That sounds fun.
But you said it was decorated beautifully, and it was like, God. It was nice.
I think what they do in Chicago to try to distract their citizens from the cold and misery is decorate in the most beautiful way. Chicago in the winter, I got three really great days. And here's a secret that a couple of Chicago's people from Chicago told me over the weekend also. And they're like, do not tell anybody this. It really doesn't snow that much in Chicago anymore.
Really?
Yeah, for whatever reason. I mean, global warming clearly is not a thing. So it doesn't really snow there, but it's the winds and the cold together that make it so miserable. And I just happened to get 3 days. Two of them were really, really great. But during the SEC championship, I am sitting in a bar, such SEC narcissism, because I'm just assuming as we are here in Atlanta and you're in the Southeast, Florida, Kentucky or whatever, right? That the whole country is into the SEC championship the same way we are, right?
Nope, you go to the Midwest, they don't give a
crap. They don't care. I'm in this bar, right? And there are literally five chairs next to me and nobody is sitting on them. And some people behind me are talking about the Marquette, Wisconsin basketball game. Like, what are you saying? So they finally put the game on at this restaurant that I was at, and there was nobody. So I'm the only one with each and every play screaming and then getting all bummed, and people are looking at me like, because I don't have Georgia gear on. They're like, what? So on Instagram, I post that I am clearly in the wrong place and in the wrong city to be watching UGA and celebrating. Somebody hits me up and says, there is a UGA alumni group about a quarter of the mile away from you right now. If you walk over there, you will feel Dog Nation. So I immediately settle the bill and I start walking over there, and it's a place called Highline Pizza. And I walk in, and as soon as I opened up the door, there are hundreds of Dogs fans. Everybody in red, man. They got a DJ playing. Everybody's having the time of their lives. So
there's all kinds of like Georgia flags hanging
all
up everywhere.
Over the place, man.
You found your people.
I found my people. So I think now Georgia has to wait 3 weeks to play in the playoff. Not exactly sure how the whole thing happens. But and I think we have to wait for Notre Dame to play Indiana, I think, and then they play in the next round of the playoffs. So congratulations.
No, congratulations to you, Bert.
Yeah,
for
man.
All that hard work.
I almost didn't come in today, man. I had to ice bath. All right, Abby, there's an ongoing dating mystery in Atlanta you need to get to the bottom of.
I think I've solved it, because as I start approaching 30.
Oh, are you like a dating Nancy Drew?
I think so. I've got my little magnifying glass. I've got my little satchel, my glasses, and I'm out looking for the best places to find the people in Atlanta. And there's this ongoing mystery that I have been a part of, that other people that I'm friends with have been a part of, and I think I finally gotten to the bottom of it. Dang it.
Okay.
So a couple of weeks ago, it was, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday, and there is a day before Thanksgiving that I learned about in my adult life. I have always spent Thanksgiving with my family up in the North Georgia Mountains, so I'm never like in a city, I'm never in my hometown to experience the night before Thanksgiving. And so the past couple of years, because I've been in a city and I've gotten to experience Blackout Wednesday, I've wanted to take full advantage of it. And if you don't know what Blackout Wednesday it is, it is the night before Thanksgiving where everyone goes to their hometown bar to find their old high school flames or maybe people that go to rival schools, and maybe you have a very romantic evening. So on Blackout Wednesday, I was like, where do I want to go? Because Atlanta is not my hometown, but I don't really know where the hometown bars are. Last year, I went to Five Paces Inn in Buckhead, because I was like, that to me seems like a dive bar that people would go to.
It's fun.
It's a really fun place. And then people started getting robbed there, and I was like, I need to stop going to Five Paces Inn. So
well, then you need to stop going to Buckhead.
Yeah, I need to stop going to Buckhead. So when I was there, I saw people that I like went to college with. I was like, this is clearly not a hometown bar. This is clearly just a place where people go out. Great bar, fun time, not the vibes I was looking for. I wanted some skeezy hometown vibes. So I thought, where do people actually live in Atlanta? Where are the suburbs? I'm like, oh my God, obviously Alpharetta. So I made plans to go out in Alpharetta that evening for some hometown debauchery. And I think I have solved a mystery that women had been trying to solve in Atlanta for years, so I've heard. And that question is, where do men in their late 20s and early 30s go out? Mm-hmm. Because in Buckhead, it is all men who are in their early 20s, still kind of frat boy-ish. When you go out to the Beltline, it's typically like a lot of cliques and it's very hard to like infiltrate. So the women have been wondering, where do the single men that are like 30, 31, 32 go to hang out?
I feel like Buckhead, you're either going to get those youngins or you're going to get the 50, 60-year-old men looking for 20-year-olds.
Who think they're still young.
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody that was hanging out in Buckhead is now over at the Battery. We've talked about this, right?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Battery, but it can be hit or miss. Like, we tried last year on Blackout Wednesday to go to, like, PBR, and it wasn't quite as, like, wasn't, like, after a Braves game. So I thought this year, I'm like, I feel like there's got to be a bunch of people coming home to see their parents who live in the burbs in Alpharetta.
Smart.
And we went to Mercantile Social. For the ladies out there looking for a man who's wearing like a Patagonia quarter zip, who maybe works in finance in Chicago and is coming in town to visit his parents, Alpharetta is the place to go. I walked in and for the first time, it was like I had a food allergy, and I, you know, typically go to places that maybe aren't gluten-free. And so I, you know, I'm looking at the selection and I can't quite sample the selection because it's not for me. The 23-year-olds are not for me. Walking into some of these bars in downtown Alpharetta was like being lactose intolerant and walking into an ice cream parlor that was all made with coconut milk. I'm like, oh my God, these men are for me. So I highly recommend to all the ladies out there, if you are looking for a man who is not in his 20s smoking a vape on a Friday night, downtown Alpharetta is the place to go.
Yeah, and as a guy that's been in town now for almost 24 years, I can't believe that. And has sort of watched that area grow. Back in the day, Alpharetta was just for families. You never went up there, man. That's boring. Things shut down at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And as a guy that goes up there quite a bit now, downtown Alpharetta goes off.
I have to be honest, I was so shocked at how lit it was. Because in my mind, I'm like, okay, there's going to be a couple of bars. It's kind of like suburban vibes. We go to downtown Alpharetta. It's like a Hallmark movie. It's lit up. Everything is cozy and cute. We get the brick buildings and the restaurants. And to your point about thinking that it was going to be kind of lame, it was a Friday night that we went, or it wasn't a Friday night. It was Wednesday. I wasn't like super like ready to spend a night out till 3 a.m. So we left around like 11. As I'm leaving Mercantile Social, there is a massive line outside. Mm-hmm. People are getting out of their Ubers, ready to go out. I'm like, I'm going home. So if you really need a fun place to go out, Mercantile Social, Jekyll, I think we went to as well. Just a lot of really great places that actually feel like they're for an older, mature crowd that still wants to have a good time.
Real quick reminder, we are still giving out $1,000 to you guys, whole bunch of different times. Tomorrow, then again on Thursday, all you got to do is sign up for this cash and then listen for your name at the time you tell us you're listening. It doesn't get any easier than this. Sign up today, win your money tomorrow starting at 7 a.m. Go to Q997Atlanta.com.
The Burt Show.
All right, Mo, is she being entitled or is he just being totally and completely cheap?
That is the question after I saw this couple get into an argument after a night out on Friday, and I'm curious as to what you guys will think about it. So a few of us all went out to just have a good time. Now, I got to get these details right to make sure that we give both of them a fair fight in this debate. So it's a guy's night out, technically, right? It's me and it's three other guys. The four of us, we all go out. We're having a good time. We're hanging out. So at some point, we're all sitting at the bar watching the game. One of the guys that's with me taps the other guy on his leg. And I see it happen. And I'm like, what is that about? Because he's like tapping him real hard. And so I kind of look around, scan the environment, and I notice that the lady that one of my friends is dating is at the place that we all are at. And it was a surprise. Neither of them knew the other would be there. They've been dating at this point for, I want to say, about 3 months now. So it's still fairly new, but it's pretty intense. They see each other a lot. They talk a lot.
Oh, so it's like one of those taps, like, somebody's here. Somebody's here.
Exactly. So he looks up, and it takes him a while, but then they lock eyes. So then the guys, we start making fun of him, like, oh, you can't even get a guy's night out anymore. This is what it's come to? So I can kind of tell that he wasn't as excited to see her as we all thought he would be. Like, I don't think that, at least we didn't look at it like she was stalking him or anything. It really did appear to have just been a coincidence. But they're at the same place. So she walks over. After a while, she says bye to whomever she was speaking to, and she walks over to join us. And she says hello to everyone. We all give her a hug and say hello. Now, I guess that's the first part that's debatable on how do you handle that? Because me, personally, if I happen to be at a place where my lady happens to be, and it's a coincidence, but she's with her friends, I'm going to see that as that's a ladies' night out. And I would probably go over, say hello, give her a kiss, keep it moving.
Yep.
Right? Probably pay for a meal. You know, that's it, though. I'm out. I'm not going to stay. She stayed. And I don't think he took that well. You understand what I'm saying? I think he wanted her to just say hello and keep it moving.
Oh, yeah.
But she sat down with us.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
So she infiltrated.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't care. But I think he felt a little bit of a way about it.
Mm-hmm. Like, read the room. This is guy's night. It was, she didn't do it intentionally, right? It was just kind of like, it was just a random coincidence.
Right. And I think in her defense, I think she came alone just to have a drink and to kick it. And it just so happens that she saw us and she probably just saw it like, oh, I can hang out with the guys now.
Mm-mm. All right, let's hit a pause. So, all right, so Abby, this happens.
Uh-huh.
And I'm putting myself, like, if we were having a girl's night, and then Bart just randomly shows up at the restaurant, whatever, I would expect him to sit down for a minute and hang out and then maybe bounce. I wouldn't expect him to keep it moving.
I wouldn't even sit down.
I wouldn't sit down either. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't?
Hug not at all.
Yeah, hug, kiss on the cheek.
Yep.
All right, you guys have a great night, and then buy everybody a drink.
That's it. That's exactly what I would do.
It does kind of ruin the vibe. And I remember a couple years ago, I was visiting a friend in a different city, and me and her were supposed to go have dinner somewhere. And we're sitting at the bar of this restaurant, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this girl in like a year. We're catching up, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, her fiance comes from behind and just sits down next to us, like, no fanfare, no, like, hey, I was just stopping by. Like, he's all of a sudden just having dinner with us. And I was like, wait, this is not, I feel like this is breaking girl code. So I would feel some type of way about this.
I don't want to be overly skeptical here, but circling back to what Kristen said, we are absolutely sure that this was coincidence that she ended up in this place.
I'm not convinced that it's an absolute coincidence, but it appears to be.
Have they shared each other's location?
So, funny you ask. They have not shared each other's location, but I did ask him, because it's fun. Like, this is his spot. We all went here for him. And I was like, did you tell her that this is your spot? And he said no, but he did mention it once before when we were all around each other. And I don't know if she took that information and stored it and then made it her spot too, or it was just one big coincidence. I don't know. But either way, that wasn't even the part that got him to the point of where he's seeing it as a red flag. What he saw as a red flag was, I guess at some point before we ended up leaving, because we left, like, she never gave us the guy night back. We ended up just leaving. But I guess it's
so she stayed the whole time.
She stayed the whole time. So if we stayed for another hour, I believe it was, she was there the entire time. And again, it didn't bother us because we were sitting at a bar and she was sitting next to him and he was on one end. So for us, it was like they had their moment. We had ours. Who cares?
Oh, he just kind of got like excommunicated from the guy's night.
Exactly. So I think it bothered him more than it bothered us.
Makes sense.
But when we got in the car, he was like, I got to ask y'all something. So we're like, okay. So he says, I'm getting chewed out right now. So we're like, wait, how could you possibly be the one getting chewed out? So apparently at some point she asked him, you know, you want to get a couple drinks, which he thought was an odd question because he was already drinking. But he's like, yeah, sure. So she ordered the drinks. She ordered a couple drinks, I guess, for just them. She didn't order it for the group, which is fine. But at the end, when we were all like, all right, it's time to go, I think it was my turn to pay the bill because we all take turns. So I took care of the bill, but I didn't know that he had separate drinks that were for her. So I guess as we were leaving, she looked at him and was like, wait, You're not going to take care of the drinks that we got? So he was like, you asked me if I wanted the drinks. And this is not even like our night out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so in his mind, he wasn't supposed to pay for her drinks.
Yeah.
And he actually felt the way that she thought he was. But she felt the way that he didn't. So he's in the car telling us we're going at it right now over the fact that he didn't pay for her drinks, which made me now pose the question, was he being cheap or was she being entitled?
I like to call this segment Back to Tinder.
The Burt Show.